WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. More delays for the Mountain Valley Pipeline in Virginia. Got mosquito bites? Virginia health officials have identified a record number of human West Nile virus cases in the state this year. And we talk with author William Giroux about the unusual sacrifice made by families in Matthews, Virginia during World War II. Giroux is this month's Books and Brews featured author. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, October 8th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
More delays for the Mountain Valley Pipeline in Virginia. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has suspended a permit the pipeline needs to cross waterways in Virginia. The Corps' Norfolk District sent a letter Friday to the company developing the natural gas pipeline, saying it was putting the permit on hold because of uncertainty following a federal court ruling earlier last week. That ruling from the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals tossed out a water crossings permit issued by a West Virginia district of the Corps. Environmental groups have since asked federal regulators to halt all construction activity on the $4.6 billion project. The letter says the Norfolk District finds it appropriate to, quote, await clarity. Developers are aiming to finish the project by the end of 2019. A series of court challenges from environmental groups have led to previous delays. The Mountain Valley Pipeline is planned to run from West Virginia through southwestern Virginia near Roanoke. Authorities in Amherst say no charges will be filed against sheriff's deputies involved in a shootout with a man who was killed, and the medical examiner ruled his death a suicide. The Amherst County Sheriff's Office said the three deputies are now released from administrative duties. It said in a Facebook post Thursday that an investigation by state police and the county Commonwealth's attorney found that the deputies reacted with appropriate force when they exchanged gunfire during a traffic stop with 40-year-old Anthony Hutchinson in August. The sheriff's office said the medical examiner found that Hutchinson died from a self-inflicted gunshot. Authorities say the Waynesboro man was suspected of killing 29-year-old Alexia Lockett at her Afton home, and a deputy had tried to stop the car he fled in. Virginia health officials have identified a record number of human West Nile virus cases in the state this year. As of October 1st, the State Department of Health had received reports from multiple regions of the state for a total of 38 human cases of the virus. State Health Commissioner M. Norman Oliver is urging residents to prevent mosquito bites by using insect repellent, wearing long-sleeved shirts and long pants, and eliminating mosquito breeding habitats by emptying items that hold standing water outside, including planters, bird baths, and trash containers. Oliver says that mosquitoes that transmit the virus can be active as late as the end of October in Virginia. Well, both the DMV and the Attorney General's office are warning consumers to be wary of buying used cars that may have been flood damaged in the wake of Hurricane Florence, from partner station WCVE Charles Fishburn reports.
State laws require water damage to be reported on a vehicle's title. But Attorney General Mark Herring says dishonest sellers can find ways around it, putting buyers at risk. And he says be especially careful when buying from an individual.
Before purchasing a vehicle from another individual, make sure to have it checked out by a trusted mechanic and look for any signs of water damage.
Recently shampooed carpets and stains and water residue under carpets, rust in the engine compartment can be clues. Carfax estimates there were more than 12,000 flood damaged vehicles being sold in North Carolina alone. Charles Fishburn, WMRA News.
While the opioid crisis continues, methamphetamine is now flooding into southwestern Virginia. Meth has now overtaken heroin as a drug of choice, second only to marijuana in the region. The Roanoke Times reports that police seizures of meth have skyrocketed. Fatal overdoses from meth are rare, but they are rising, too. The uptick is not fueled by meth labs like those depicted on the show Breaking Bad, but by cheap crystal methamphetamine from Mexico. Experts warn of the growing threat of stimulant drug abuse, whether it's with illegal methamphetamines or prescription drugs such as Adderall. The influx only complicates the already meager treatment options at a time when many state and federal grants are earmarked for opioid-related disorders. Some students taking the ACT college entrance exam later this month will get a free, healthy breakfast before they pick up their pencils. Governor Ralph Northam announced that Virginia is part of a pilot program to provide a complimentary meal for students before the test. Northam said students in Gretna, Harrisonburg, Martinsville, Springfield, and Tazewell will be offered the free breakfast. Virginia's Child and Adult Care Food Program and ACT, Inc., a nonprofit organization that administers the ACT, are partnering on the pilot project. Northam, a pediatric neurologist, said the benefits of a healthy breakfast before taking tests are substantial. Schools in Virginia's urban areas are bursting at the seams, growing faster than their capacity. But as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, some of those students might be heading to the suburbs soon.
Before the recession, families with children would leave cities like Alexandria and Charlottesville before their kids were old enough for kindergarten. The economic crash changed that, though, and enrollment in cities spiked, while growth in suburban schools slowed or even declined in some cases. Now something different is happening. Hamilton Lombard at the University of Virginia points out that over the last few years, the share of children born in Virginia cities who later enroll in city schools has fallen.
Overall, it's probably a welcome trend on both sides. City school divisions, a lot of them have been dealing with overcrowding, and I think they'd welcome to see enrollment growth just coming down a bit, slowing a little bit. In a lot of the suburban divisions, when they've had declining enrollment, wouldn't mind seeing it decline more slowly or even a little growth.
Terry Clower at George Mason University says there's something else at work here, too. It's not just that wealthy families are decamping for the burbs.
What we are seeing is not only that there are more kids in the school, what's also presenting the challenge is that the demographics of those kids is dramatically changing.
Some of the wealthiest cities in Virginia are seeing a dramatic rise in students who qualify for free and reduced price lunches, an indication of rising poverty in unexpected places. I'm Michael Pope.
And finally today, families in Matthews, Virginia, sacrificed much during World War II when a large group of Matthews sea captains were sent to help with the war effort. Author William Giroux chronicles the heroic story of one Matthews family whose seven merchant mariner sons suddenly found themselves in the crosshairs of Hitler's U-boats. William Giroux will speak at Books and Brews tomorrow in Harrisonburg and Wednesday in Crozet, and he spoke with WMRA's Chris Boros about how some of the Matthews men survived when the odds were against them.
The Matthews men were a group of merchant sea captains, and they were sailing them in World War II in particular when they were just getting savaged by German U-boats, which were sent over here to this side of the Atlantic to destroy merchant ships. They hauled all the cargo, you know, all the ammunition, the tanks, the planes. Hitler, the U-boats, were determined to stop them. That was their main job. Most of these ships were older, they were defenseless, they were slow, they were really sitting ducks.
Talk a little bit about the family of Captain Jesse and Henrietta Hodges and their seven sons. That's a big portion of your book, right?
They are one of many families in Little Matthews County that was very heavily involved in the U.S. Merchant Marine. And the Hodges in particular had a father, the patriarch of the family, Captain Jesse Hodges, who was a tough old tugboat captain. He had seven sons, and all of those sons would go on to become captains of merchant ships. At one point during the war, a lot of these brothers were out sailing. Together, they went everywhere. They experienced pretty much everything. Everybody in Matthews knew somebody, either had a family member or a close friend who was on one of these ships that was being attacked. Quite a number of them in Matthews were killed, and the ones who didn't had these kind of hair-raising survival stories with sharks and fires and rough seas and things like that.
Have you been to Matthews?
Yeah, oh yeah. I've spent a great deal of time in Matthews. And Matthews is a very small place. When I started working on it, I had went there. Somebody gave me a name, and I went to talk to a guy. And I would always ask guys or women when I talked to them, I'd say, you know anybody else around here who is involved in this story? And they would say, oh, yeah, go down to the end of the creek here and talk to Bessie. You know, her father was killed by a U-boat.
What about during the war? Like, did they know that this was happening? Did they know that people were being sent out to deal with this?
They knew better than most people in the country did, because most of the country was focused on the warships.
They must have been in a lot of danger, not just from the U-boats.
No, I mean, going to sea, of course, was dangerous but they were also attacked by bombers, and there was a lot of things to be concerned about. It was really dangerous work, and the casualty rate was very high.
So for the men who survived, how did they do it?
Perseverance, you know. When you were torpedoed on a ship, sometimes you were lucky, sometimes very easy. Some people would get torpedoed, and they'd get into a lifeboat and get picked right up and never get their feet wet. But other people went through these terrible ordeals. You know, they were literally people that were attacked by sharks and who drowned, froze to death and drowned in rough seas, you know, huge waves. And sometimes the oil would fill in the water and catch on fire and create these flaming oil slicks and people would die. But some of these guys would survive over and over again. There's a guy mentioned in the book that survived being torpedoed 10 times and went right back out. You know, when he got back, he would spend 30 days, you could recuperate, and then you had to be out on another ship or you could be drafted.
They were fearless.
They were.
General Dwight D. Eisenhower said, quote, "There's no organization that will share its credit more deservedly than the Merchant Marine." I assume you agree with that?
They certainly deserve the credit. I'm not sure they really got, they ended up not getting much credit, but yeah, they certainly deserved it. They were responsible. These guys, I think, were sort of left out of history books and the government benefits and everything. So it was a sad story for them, but they still took part in it.
Well, they're getting some credit now because of your book.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully the book will help people see what these guys did.
William Jarrell, thank you so much for your time today. We're looking forward to your Books and Brews interview. It's going to be great.
Thanks for your time.
That's author William Jarrell speaking with WMRA's Chris Boros about his book, The Matthews Men. And Jarrell will speak at Books and Brews tomorrow in Harrisonburg at Pale Fire Brewing Company and Wednesday in Crozet at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Bring your WMRA member card for a complimentary beer. Both events start at 7. Books and Brews is sponsored by Union Bank and Trust. And, of course, you can learn more at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. That's the podcast for today. Enjoy your Monday.